well, there may be periodic loud announcements, and I may actually disappear if my signal becomes less powerful than I would like it to be. And secondly, I want to remind everyone this call is being recorded, and if you don't like it, you should hang up.
Mr. Jordan?
No problem, Glenn. Is there anyone online that hasn't checked in, announced themselves?
This is Steve Metallis. I'm not sure if you heard
mine. Yeah, we got you, Steve. Okay, great. Then just to talk about agenda for a couple of minutes here, we did have to cancel the last call, which resulted in we weren't able to address the two questions that we had carried over from our previous call, one that Steve had sent an answer to yesterday, I believe, and then the other was whether the definition that the Who Is Tech group had put together was sufficient in terms of a definition of the purpose of the technical contact. I'd like to spend a little bit of time on those two topics today, but we need to spend hopefully a good portion of the call, at least half, on discussion of what, if anything, we're going to present at Vancouver. I talked to Bruce over the past week, and he would certainly like us to be presenting something, and hopefully the more sort of actionable, the better. So I'd like to spend some time in the second half of the call discussing where we are in terms of Vancouver. Anyone else have other things they want to add to the agenda or address on the call?
I just have a clarification, George.
Sure.
It's Marilyn. The opportunity, quote-unquote, to make the presentation would be in the council public forum. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
For clarity's sake, the council public forum is Friday morning.
I haven't looked at the schedule lately, but I'll trust you on that one, yes.
Okay. The council meeting is not until Friday evening.
Right, yeah, I know there is some strain, like there's a public forum between those two, is that right? The board public forum?
Five.
And are we having a task force meeting? I'm sorry, I missed that.
There is not currently a scheduled task force meeting during Vancouver.
Hello, this is Milton.
Hello.
Hi, Milton.
Hi, I'm Wendy.
Oh, hi, Wendy.
I turned as well, it's Tom.
And
Hello. John, is that right? You said there's no task force meeting?
We don't currently have anything scheduled. I suspect the schedule's fairly full already, I think, so maybe even if we wanted to have one, it might be challenging. But I'd like to, let's see where we get to in terms of talking about where we are in terms of Vancouver and see whether we think it's useful or productive or not to try to find such a time.
Okay.
Anything else in terms of additions or modifications on the agenda? Okay, great. So the two questions that we had identified on the last call to carry over to this one are the first two things I'd like to take up. The first one of those is a question we asked at some length on the last call, but I think didn't ultimately come to a conclusion. And this is the issue of if the registrant or the admin contact is responsible, or if the point of the WHOIS system is to allow contact with someone responsible for the, who can do something about content, the question that we had discussed was how do we determine the bounds of what content is we're talking about, essentially. So Ross had raised the concept of the blogware.com domain, which I guess Two Cows is the registrant of, but which many thousands of people publish content for under third-level domains, like I think our new ICANN board member, Susan Crawford, has a blog, scrawford@.blogware.com. Whether or not that was part of the content that was the admin contact or registrant would be responsible for. And just to give some sort of definition of what the bounds of what content various proposers of, I think each of the ISP, the BC, and the IPC proposals make some reference to content in terms of their constituency statements on the purpose of who is or the purpose of the contacts. And the issue is what content exactly is being referred to by those proposals. So Steve, I think, had sent a note to the list yesterday regarding, I guess, that trying to further clarify the IPC view. Maybe Steve, do you want to speak to that for a moment?
Sure. I think my concern, as I went back and looked at the question you had posed and matched it up with what we had the IPC had proposed, is that there was a blurring of the line between responsible for content and a point of contact for content, for issues regarding content, which was, the latter was what we had proposed as the purpose of the administrative contact. We then added a sentence, which I think probably confused the situation further and perhaps may have been overstated, but we said, for instance, the administrative contact should have the authority to modify content on the site or to accept legal process or similar notifications concerning that content. And I think the discussion has made it clear to me that the administrative contact might not have either of those capabilities in some cases, but still could be a point of contact for issues regarding content. Even if Two Cows has no, I accept that Two Cows does not have any responsibility for what Susan Crawford posts on her website, but or on her blog, but I think the point is that they would be a point of contact for getting in touch with Susan Crawford. Not that may not be a great example, because I think it's probably pretty easy based on the content to do that, but the principle is still the same. They would be a point of contact or a conduit for doing that. Again, while they are not necessarily responsible for all the internet resources that are that depend upon the domain name registration, they assume would be aware of those other resources and therefore be in a position to be the point of contact. So I think that's probably a better way to approach this issue. I think in many cases there will be somebody who meets the description in the last sentence and of our position. And we did say, for instance, so there might be circumstances in which it wasn't met. But I guess if you look at this from the standpoint of the registrant, trying to figure out who am I supposed to put in there as administrative contact, I think that one of the things we ought to be looking to is to provide guidance to the registrant in that situation, and I think our formulation would help provide that guidance. Now, I hasten to add that I recognize that one constituency thinks there shouldn't be an administrative contact in who is, and another constituency has said, we don't see any real difference between administrative and technical, so maybe we don't need both. But our position is, if you're going to have an administrative contact in who is, this is a reasonable way of describing the characteristics of who you want to put in that slot.
Jordan, it's Ken Stubbs. Can I ask a point of clarification?
Yes. Go ahead, Ken, and then I have one as well.
Yeah. Two things. I don't know whether Ross is on the call, but I think register.com offers web hosting packages with their registrations. As a normal procedure, if register.com or a proxy such as the GoDaddy's proxy service is instituted, does the organization, the registrar, or the company that's handling the web hosting or proxy service normally list themselves as the administrative contact for that specific domain?
I don't know. I think the answer might be different in those two circumstances. I would think in a web hosting situation that they would, or they would list somebody from the company. In the domains by proxy, they have a, I mean, they have a formulation about who they list. But presumably, that's a little bit different, I think, because that falls under the provision of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, where you need to know who you need to go to present reasonable evidence of actionable harm. That may be very close to this administrative contact formulation that I'm talking about, but it's happening in a slightly different context. I don't know. I mean, Jordan may be able to answer the question about register.com.
Yeah, I'll answer specifically for register. Generally speaking, the registrant or someone very closely affiliated with the registrant is the admin contact, and we are often listed as the technical contact or the zone contact. But generally, until not that long ago, we actually didn't have a notion of a registrant distinct from the admin contact. So the registrant and the admin contact were essentially the same. So I think, generally speaking, I think practice is very widely, but from what I've observed, hosting companies and people that provide technical services are more likely to list themselves as the technical contact than the admin contact under current practices. So Steve, I just to try to clarify your clarification, I guess, are you basically saying you view the admin contact as a point of contact for any content issues sort of related to, referred to by the domain name?
Yeah.
And they're not responsible for it, but they're who you get in touch with regardless of, you know, if you have no other way to determine how to get in touch with the content publisher.
Right. I think that's a fair summation.
Okay. Let me ask this, either to Marilyn, David, or Greg. I think both the BC and the ISP constituency statements make reference to content as well as being part of the purpose of who is encompasses or the contact encompasses responsibility or some contactability relating to content. Are your views similar to Steve's that, or the IPC's that the point is to provide a point of contact to allow, not that the admin contact or the registrant is necessarily responsible for that content, but they are responsible for, they're at least who you would call in order to eventually figure out how to get in touch with the publisher.
Yes, I would say so. This is Greg speaking.
Yeah, this is David. I would say so as well.
Okay, so the notion here is not one of responsibility for content, just providing some sort of conduit for to get in touch with the publisher.
Jordan, could you repeat that? We just lost you on the train.
Sure, yeah. I think the notion is that I hear being articulated is that the whoever it is, the admin contact or the registrant, I think it varies by constituency, but this person isn't responsible for content, but is the person you would get in touch with if you couldn't figure out who was publishing data on a website and it was, you know, it was in the example of a blog, all you could was that it was a blogware.com blog hosted by 2Cows. You could go to 2Cows and say, hey, I can't figure out how to get in touch with this blog person. Can you help me out with that?
So can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
In that example, what would be would the administrative contact be the same as the technical contact?
I don't know.
And
Ross could probably tell us what the current situation is with regards to blogware.com.
It, with that particular domain name, it's the same contact.
Okay. So we push it to a point where there may not be that much of a real difference, especially when we're talking about individuals and small organizations.
Yeah, I'm just dying to know though what the expectation is, whether or not Steve is looking for Susan's home phone number or her cell phone number, or just for me to pass on these messages that he wants to have relayed.
Yeah, I guess Steve, would you imagine that there's any expectation of a specific type of performance of any duties by the admin contact in control?
Well, I mean, I assume they should be able to fulfill this function. You know, if you can't open the exit door, then you shouldn't be sitting in the exit row.
What does that mean, Steve?
But I don't think it would there would necessarily be any one piece of contact information that they would have. I mean, I don't think that is. I mean, I could say what I would like to have, but I don't know that in many cases they would have that. But they ought to be a point of contact with the ability to put you in touch in some way with the party responsible for the contact.
So I can, right now, Steve, I can add you as the administrative contact for blogware.com.
Well,
would that make you responsible for these thousands of customers? Or?
No, it would make you an abuser of the system because you would have put in an administrative contact who doesn't fulfill the function. Now, the problem we have now is that nobody knows what the administrative contact is supposed to be.
Right.
Nobody knows what the technical contact is supposed to be. So the fact that this doesn't match up with current practice, to me, is not the end of the discussion. We're trying to hopefully get greater consistency in current practice than we have now. And it also may the fact that in some cases it's going to be the same individual, again, doesn't help me either, because in different situations, different people are going to have different responsibilities. But they are somewhat distinct responsibilities, I think, and if we can try to clarify what the registrant should do with each of these entries, I think that would be helpful for registrants, and it could be helpful for everybody else.
And in order to minimize the abuse that you're talking about, what sort of enforcement are you proposing around this?
Well, the registrant has the obligation to put in accurate information regarding all of these data.
Yeah.
Enforcement is an issue that we've talked about a lot, and obviously enforcement is through the ICANN's enforcement is through the registrar. The registrar has certain obligations with regard to the accuracy of the information, at least when they get a complaint, and so on and so forth.
But accuracy and authenticity are two completely different things. So what I hear you saying is that not only does the data have to be accurate, but we've also got to figure out a way to tell the difference between an admin contact as stated and an actual admin contact who's actually responding to the duties that you're aligning.
Well, yeah, it's the difference between you're listing me as your admin contact and you're listing Mickey Mouse as your admin contact, I guess.
Well, I don't understand the analogy, I'm sorry.
Well,
if I'm listing Steve Metallis with your
no
correct...
There's no actual person in the second instance.
Okay.
I guess you would. So that's one category. The other is you've listed someone who's an actual person. But I mean, it's similar with the registrant. You know, when in the OECD case from a few years back that we've talked about before, when they listed the General Counsel of the American Institute of Architects, I don't know whether they listed him as the registrant or the admin contact, but obviously they were putting false who is data in there. That person had nothing to do with the registration for OECD.org, which I think was the main name in question. So when the OECD learned that, they complained because there was false contact data. But that was a real person.
Okay. Well, I think we're getting a bit far afield to making a distinction between accurate and appropriate, maybe, or something like that.
Jordan, can I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I'm getting a little, I'm a little troubled because it looks to me like we suddenly have created another continental divide, the idea of accuracy and authenticity. I mean, if we try to attribute those functions to a registrar, we're creating something that's just totally impractical at this point in time, and I don't see any potentiality for even moving in that direction. All we're doing is it's like taking a 3-year step backward and creating an environment that is just impractical to operate within and implement. So I'd rather move forward with something that's practical that makes sense for us down the road. That's just my own personal perspective.
Yeah, no, I agree that we this discussion has the potential to crack a little bit. I think there, to a certain extent, any of the, regardless of what we decide the meaning of the purpose of who is or the meaning of the various data fields, there's nothing to stop someone from putting other sort of, I guess, maybe accurate but still incorrect information, like you could always put a different real person as the registrant, even if we all understood what the registrant was supposed to be, the person that sort of a quote-unquote owner of the domain. That wouldn't stop someone from entering someone else's information there. So I think, to a certain extent, I think it's an issue from the issue of what the data fields mean. And there, we do have a later topic on accuracy after we do figure out what the purpose of Whois is. I will caveat that we do want to make sure that the purpose is something that's not completely crazy and unrealistic. To the extent that's what you're hinting at, Russ, I think we'll take the concern. But the main point here is just to, I think, understand the position of the IPC and the other constituencies with regards to the roles of the contact and Whois with regards to content. And it sounds like the view is that the role is to somehow to act as a proxy, so to speak, in order to allow communication between the content publisher and someone who has a concern about it. So I think that's understandable. That does answer the initial question that I posed last week. Does anyone else have anything else they want to add to this, or I'd like to move to the next one otherwise? Okay, the next topic then was a question we'd raised on the last call was whether we think the definition created by the Whois tech subgroup is sufficient to describe the role of the technical contact. And I had sent out an email shortly after the call sort of summarizing that. Unfortunately, my computer just ran out of batteries and I can't look at it right now. But essentially it was a person, this would make the technical contact a person responsible for resolving technical issues relating to the registration and delegation of the domain name, and that's as distinct, I guess, from someone who is responsible for just miscellaneous technical organization, or someone responsible for network operations or something like that. But to make sure that if there was a problem relating to a lame delegation or some other technical problem relating to the registration, that there would be a clear contact. I think Marilyn expressed over the list this morning that the BC wouldn't support that using the Whois tech definition for the definition of the technical contact. But I guess at this point I'd like to see if other constituencies have a view on this, given the time to reflect on it since our last call.
Jordan, let me just clarify. I don't support using only that definition. I asked for an addition. I didn't say not to use. I just want to be clear. I'm not saying that that can't be part of the definition.
Right. Okay. You don't support. You don't think it's sufficient. I guess the sufficient to use the Whois tech contact as the definition, and you don't think it is sufficient. It needs some expansion in terms of the scope.
I do.
Okay. Any other constituencies have views on this?
I would like to say something about this.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Milton.
Oh, Milton. Sorry. Well, so crazy.
Grant and I look a lot alike, I know. What did you call me?
I called you Greg, actually.
Greg, okay. Yeah.
I'll blame my cell phone for it.
I don't even know who Greg is, so I don't know whether to be charmed or offended. But anyway, I thought that the purpose of this task force, here we are debating purpose again, the purpose of this task force was to define the purpose of who is, not the purpose of a particular contact within the who is system.
Well, I'll clarify that. We have the purpose of the task force is to do both of those things. We have two items in our terms of reference. One relates to the purpose of who is, and one relates to the purpose of the contact.
Right. So I guess my comment would be that unless we are agreed on the purpose of who is, it really makes no sense to discuss particular contacts and what their purposes are. And in that respect, I would say that the definition of the, you know, if we were dealing with the present system of who is, I mean, there's nothing that we object to in particular about this definition of the technical contact, but we don't want to be assuming that that there is also an administrative contact, a technical contact, and so on, as there is in the present system. We don't want to back ourselves into any kind of acceptance of this distinction, that there's a separate technical contact from another contact. We may end up there after we've defined the purpose of who is, but it doesn't really strike me as the right way to go about things. And let me just say, I know I've been absent for a while, but it seems to me that the purpose of who is as defined in the registrar statement, which was circulated, I guess, 2 weeks ago, it looks pretty good to me. And I just wondered what the status of that was.
Sure. Well, we'll talk as our very next topic, Milton, about sort of the status of what we're going to do in terms of next steps. I did want to, we had posed these two sort of lingering questions from our last call that I did want to quickly resolve before we get to that. But I think we've got your opinion, and we'll hope to move on in a few moments to the broader discussion.
Can I ask you a question, Jordan?
Pardon? The short-term question, so the short-term question that we're trying to just get viewpoints from the constituencies on is whether the who is tech definition would be an appropriate definition of the technical contact.
You need a mask, ma'am.
Sorry, I didn't hear that last comment. Any other comments on this question?
I had some questions from Marilyn that I posted to the list about
with regards
what she speculated.
To her, I haven't seen your email, but is that regards to her email from this morning?
Yes.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Okay. Marilyn, I wanted to ask, who is it that you want to see listed in the technical information based on the expanded definition that you're presenting? Who would address all of the range of network and technical issues that you're proposing to expand the definition to include? Is this the registrar? If not, who else? Would you create subfields? Kind of help me parse this.
Oh, wait a minute. I think what I suggested is my concern.
Sorry, guys. There's construction going on where I am. My concern was the purpose. And for large business users, the person in the technical contact would typically be someone who has responsibility for resolving technical questions. It could be the person who deals with the registration, but normally not. That probably would be, and it varies, but that would probably be the admin contact who deals with the registration and who questions would go to about a lame delegation. Typically,
an admin contact?
Pardon me?
An admin contact for lame delegation?
The person who does the registration, Kathy, would typically be an admin contact who's doing so at the instruction of a CEO, you know, some a legal person or a business person. It typically wouldn't be the business person themselves. I mean, I certainly undertook my own registration request, but typically in a large company, there's someone whose job it is, a paralegal or an administrative person, to do the registration and to keep track of it and to answer questions about the administration issues. So if it's a question related to the registration, it would probably be handled by that person. It might be handled by the technical contact, but the technical contact in a large company would be more likely to be someone who could deal with the technical issues involving whether or not the name resolves, whether or not there are complaints about network problems, etc. I think it really does vary, as we've all said, from company to company. My concern was about the purpose statement, not so much the person because I do think it's possible that the technical contact might have to go find somebody else in the company, and they should be capable of doing that. They, on the other hand, may be the person who can resolve it themselves.
How does your model work for those who are not in big businesses, small businesses, little organizations, individuals?
Sorry, I didn't hear you at all. Sorry.
How does the model that you're presenting work for individuals, small businesses, non-commercial organizations, those who would not be handling this in-house? What do you envision as the contacts here? What's the contacts and purpose?
Okay, let's be clear. It's the purpose that I was objecting to. I wasn't searching out the exact kind of person who would go in the technical contact. I was concerned about the purpose statement, and that's what I responded to.
Wait, the purpose of who is or the purpose of the technical contact?
The purpose of the technical contact.
Okay. And I'm trying to figure out who it is that you're...
But, Kathy, I think it will
what
vary.
What type of person
and,
it
and,
is
okay.
for a company that's not large. And the reason why is we seem to have a difference. I thought that resolution and registration of the domain name was the key function of the technical contact.
But Kathy, you may think that, but I don't, and that's the point that I've made. I'm not objecting to what others believe, but I've stated what I believe and what the VC believes. So we just have a difference of perspective on this.
I'm urging technical people to come in
well, technical
to the discussion, especially again, to understand how it works, not just for big business,
Kathy,
but for everybody else.
Kathy, I'll let me respond further. I am now a small business. I also advise small businesses, and I am somewhat technical myself in my background. So if you want to invite other people on the call who also are technical, I'm happy with that, but I don't want my input to be discounted, if I could ask that.
I don't see how anybody's discounting. I just heard you being asked a question, how does your idea apply to an individual, and I don't think I heard an answer.
Sure, Milton, what I was referring to is having my input discounted in terms of it not being included in the draft definition, not this particular discussion.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that, but I really would like to know how what you're proposing now applies to
sure.
individual domain name registrants.
Sure, and so for an individual, it could be that the individual chooses to be listed themselves. It could be that they ask their web hosting company or their ISP or their registrar to provide that service for them.
Okay, is that your that all your questions, Kathy?
No, because with each different type of technical problem that we're dealing with, or we could be dealing with under the expanded purpose of the technical contact definition given to us by Marilyn, it's my understanding there'd be a different type of contact. And so I'm reluctant to expand the purpose of the technical contact without understanding who it is that we would list, or whether one person could kind of be the conduit to others.
Yeah, I think to a certain extent we've had some of this discussion in the past, and I've raised a similar question. I think what I heard back from I don't know if it was Ellen or Steve, someone was basically that essentially this person would be a point of contact and would be. Their job would be to help hunt down whoever the appropriate technical person was, even if they weren't the ones to necessarily resolve it themselves. Is that a fair summary, Marilyn?
Right. But again, you know, I think we have a difference of perspective on this particular issue.
I think that's probably. I wanted to make sure we were clear on what your position was.
Sure.
Okay. Does anyone else have? We know what the BC thinks on this question. Does anyone else have any thoughts on this, or should we just move on to the rest of the discussion? Okay. I'll take that as to mean we'll move on. So I want to spend a bit of time just sort of as a status check and thinking about what, if anything, we are in a position to present in Vancouver. I think Marilyn has correctly pointed out that there is a difference of opinion. I think it's probably fair to say that there's three constituencies that advocate for a broader purpose of who is in the context. And I think there's three constituencies that have generally been advocating for a narrower definition of the purpose of who is in the context. There's obviously not, I think, complete unanimity in terms of specifics in either of those camps, but I think they're fairly well aligned. And so I think we're probably at the point, I think we probably, both in terms of Vancouver specifically and our path forward generally, I think we're probably at the point where we just need to summarize what those perspectives are. And if I'd much rather end up hopefully with two definitions of purpose and say this definition is supported by X, Y, and Z constituencies and this other definition is supported by A, B, C constituencies or just A and B and constituency C thinks something different that doesn't really match up with what anyone else thinks. But in any case, to summarize those views in to the extent possible to create a set of more streamlined, a smaller set of views that accurately represent whatever sense of agreement exists on various different approaches. We can summarize, so then we can present those different approaches, A, for public comment in Vancouver, and B, likely we'll end up just having to produce a report for the council, or at least a preliminary report that basically indicates the two, hopefully we'll get it down to two approaches and indicate who supports it and allow the public to comment on that, and then that helps us help shape our thinking before advancing it to the council.
Jordan, you're talking about a formal preliminary report before next week?
No, I don't think we're in a position to do that, but what I'm talking about is probably it would very quickly segue into a formal preliminary report.
Okay.
Shortly thereafter, but basically my goal would be essentially to try to hammer out essentially whatever the views are and say here's a statement that these constituencies can support and here's another statement that these other constituencies support, and we'll see where the common ground is and also where the differences of opinion are and who supports them. And basically, just, you know, I think that's all we can really hope to refer to council and to the public in Vancouver. But I think it would be useful to present that as showing at least we've done something over the intervening months since Luxembourg.
So then you'd like us essentially to kind of, I guess, synthesize what those various viewpoints are and get them on the list, Jordan, or do you want to talk about them now? Or
I think probably it's worth spending a little bit of time now. First of all, let's validate that approach if we think it's useful, and then If so, to the extent we can identify, you know, where the common ground exists and where there are discrepancies, I mean, the broad strokes of what those positions are going to look like, and then spend a little bit of time on the list afterwards getting, you know, the exact language. But I'd at least like to know sort of how many positions we're going to have and who's going to be writing them up, essentially.
Gotcha.
By the end of this call.
Jordan, this is Steve. So you're talking about going back to terms of reference one, the purpose of who is, rather than on these contacts, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, definitely, at a minimum, I want to go back to terms of reference one and present whatever viewpoints. Maybe also that we can present somewhat coherent sort of bunches of opinion about the contacts as well. I'm a little less optimistic about that and think it's not quite as important.
Okay.
As Milton points out, I think that will hopefully flow from the purpose of who is.
Okay. I think one thing that would be useful is we have a document that brought together the constituency statements on purpose of who is as of August 2005. I'm not sure if that's been updated. We now have a registrar statement on this. I guess we had all the others had a statement on terms of reference one at that time. So it's really,
yeah, that's correct.
So basically, what we're working with is what's in that document plus what Ross circulated and which ultimately became the position of the registrar constituency.
Yeah,
kind of the.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
There's one more change to that document. The NCUC position was listed as draft because it was in final circulation. It is now the final position.
Okay. Right, but the position didn't change at all.
No.
Is that right, Kathy?
No,
yeah,
didn't
no.
change, not a word.
So I think, first of all, let me just ask, is any comments on the approach?
I think it's a fair approach, Jordan. It moves us forward in some small way, so that's definitely a bonus.
A little progress to show in Vancouver.
Right.
I'm sorry. I can you repeat exactly in a short way what this approach is?
The approach is to summarize is to try to whatever extent possible merge the various sort of similar definitions. So we could have a small number of clumps of definitions, or a small number of definitions, hopefully two, that different groups can either decide that they agree with one definition or the other.
Oh, and just put it up for public comment?
And put it up for public, well, really initially to get feedback in Vancouver and then create that as a preliminary report for public comment, yeah.
So this is the punt option.
So...
We can't do it. Let's kick it up to somewhere else. Option, right? Basically,
To a certain extent, yeah.
Jordan, this is
yes. Steve, go ahead.
You expect? Are we expected to do a presentation on this in Vancouver? In other words, do you want one person to speak for the three constituencies and one person to speak for the other three constituencies?
I'm open to that approach, I guess. That seems like it may be a reasonable approach to it to make sure that we're articulating the various views correctly.
Isn't that why we have a chair, Jordan?
Sorry, I didn't hear that, actually.
I was just saying, isn't that why we have a chair?
I have to summarize. I mean, I don't think it's a... I honestly don't think it's a big deal one way or the other.
All right, fair.
No, I mean, it's just a question of whether we should expect to prepare something or not. That is the
At the very least, you will need to prepare what the actual definitions are that the various groups can agree upon. So right now, there's not a common definition. I think although the IPC, the BC, and the ISPs are in fairly close alignment, the words that you've used to describe the same concept are different, and there may actually be conceptual differences.
Okay, so the deliverable that you would want from those three constituencies is something that, kind of a synthesis of those positions, and it's unclear whether someone from those constituencies would present it or you would present it, but in any case, the presenting that we're talking about would take place on Friday in Vancouver.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Right.
Kind of a position paper is 30 cases.
I hope it wouldn't be position papers. I mean, I assume that the synthesis would be pretty short, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No. I think actually, if I were to attempt to do this on the fly, I think actually it might almost be as simple as everyone agrees that the who is information is the purpose of who is to provide a database of contact information to allow contact with a registrant or a domain holder or their agent with regards to issues relating to the registration and delegation. And then some people think there's some more words that needed to be added on to the end of that, and some people don't.
So you're looking for a real practical statement of whatever shared consensus might exist. You're not looking for an advocacy piece from the registrars on why we agree with the registries or whatever. It's just here's what we agree on, here's what we don't agree on, and move forward. Is that it? Or
I'm thinking a little bit about the public forum session, and, mm-hmm. and perhaps to make it a little less dry, it may actually be useful to have some advocacy positions in terms of a few minutes from each side, basically saying here's why we, or from each constituency even saying here's why we support approach A or approach B, because I think there is a relatively large amount of common ground and a little bit of difference. So I'd like to also celebrate the common ground in addition to noting the differences of opinion. But I guess the question would be, so I think it's probably fairly practical to put together the various definitions between now and Vancouver. I think the more I sort of think about Steve's concept and your notion there, Ross, of advocacy positions, I think it may actually be useful to put together some further sort of substance around it from the various constituencies or groups to advocate for one approach versus the other, so that the public forum, people can understand the reasons behind the different approaches.
And this is just on the purpose of who is, or are
this
we?
Is just
kind
this
of
is, I think we'll probably limit this just to the purpose of who is, because it will, I think, going beyond that in the short amount of time. I guess I would invite, as we're putting together these definitions, if you think it's possible to formulate a coherent vision of the purpose of the context as well, you're free to, but I certainly would think the main focus here would be on the general purpose rather than the context.
Sounds like we should set up a meeting in Vancouver.
It may be useful to do that. I actually have no access to time. What time is it right now?
10:20.
Oh, okay. So we still have a while.
I'm sorry. Did somebody say 10:20? I think it's 11:20 already.
No. It's depends on your time zone, I guess.
It feels like it.
The Who Is Task Force, one loses track of time, so I wasn't surprised to hear Jordan say that he had completely lost any access to time. But I think that's going to happen to me if I stay on any longer.
Yeah. So let me start. Let me just ask the reps that we have here from the BC, the IST, and the IPC, do you think that those three constituencies could work together to come to some sort of unified definition of the purpose over the next week and a half or so?
I leave on Thursday and arrive on Saturday in Vancouver, so I'm not going to be very reachable until I get to Vancouver. It might be possible to do some work there.
Yeah, I assume we could, if we were to do this, we'd have to get together in Vancouver. That would make more sense than
sure.
Anything else.
But, I guess,
but that's why I asked, if this is for Friday, then I think there's a
hope that we could find some time before Friday to kind of put this together.
Right.
Jordan, Glenn will know, and we may know more later in the planning call, but I think the only time I'm aware of that is actually open is Tuesday morning.
Yes, there's Tuesday morning that I can have a room, and on Wednesday morning I can have a room too.
But Wednesday morning doesn't work, Glenn, because...
But Wednesday morning doesn't work, no, I know.
But we're not talking about having a task force meeting there. We're talking about the two groups of three constituencies getting together, developing their piece, and either presenting it on Friday or giving it to Jordan to present on Friday. Is that right?
I actually had a slightly different idea when I proposed it, which was that we should probably do our work online separately in two groups, but before we walk into the public forum, it would be nice to know what the other side is doing, that we should just have a short meeting to at least talk to each other about what we're going to see on Friday, because, we're presenting it as a group.
I take that even one step further, Kathy. I don't hold out great hopes that Steve and I will suddenly come to an agreement on this issue, but I think we should attempt to work on the list as much as possible on these so that if there are points of agreement that we share, we can latch on to that.
I don't object to that, but I do think that we probably ought to try to have a working session ourselves. It's just going to be impossible with the travel schedule for some of us to do anything online.
Yeah, well, maybe let me suggest maybe if people don't object, I think we have most of Tuesday morning open. Is that right?
No. There are some other things being scheduled for Tuesday morning.
Oh, are there? Okay, so we couldn't schedule because ideally I think we'd schedule like a two-hour session, and the first half would be within the groups, and maybe the second half would be.
Let me give my suggestion. Why don't we? I think it's easier to get the three, to get three people together than six people together. And besides, each of the three have an assignment. So let's have each of the three do their assignment, and then at 8:30 a.m. on Friday, let's get together before the public forum, and if we haven't already, we'll trade our documents and decide whether we're going to present them or Jordan's going to present them or just how we'll do it. I mean, let's give the maximum amount of time for the groups of three to work their thing out, and then let's just do it on Friday.
Okay, so let me ask this question then for the various members of the task force. Would we prefer to have some sort of time set aside for the task force as a whole on Tuesday morning, or would we rather give the individual groups more time and not have the task force get together until right before the meeting on Friday morning?
Does it have to be Tuesday morning? Is there any time at all Wednesday or Thursday? I think we're going to have more members of the task force there than at any other location.
Yeah, Wednesday, the DNS workshop starts at 8:30, Kathy. Some of us will have to be there. The counselors all need to be there. There is a lunch break on Wednesday.
Wednesday constituency day. It doesn't...
There is a lunch break Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday is just... that's constituency day. I think it's tough to jam anything more into that.
Thursday. Right? No, it's Thursday.
Was that Thursday? My apologies.
Yeah. Yeah, so the only possibility might be Wednesday at lunch, but I think if we were going to try that, I'd almost be more inclined to go with Steve's approach, get together near the right before the task force and see if we can collaborate online during the meetings as well. What time's the public forum for the GNSO scheduled for, Glenn?
No,
it should be 10:30 to
12:30.
Oh, okay. Before that is the strat plan from 8:30 to 10:30. Oh. Yeah, so that's the one problem I see, Steve, is that there is, we'll immediately go from strat planning straight into the GNSO public forum, so there may not really be an opportunity to even exchange notes for more than a few moments.
Oh.
What about 5:30 on Wednesday, right after the IDN workshop? We're not talking about a two-hour meeting. We're talking about, less than a one-hour meeting.
Well, the IDN workshop goes up to 18:30.
Oh, sorry, 6:30.
you know, if this is if we're proceeding on the basis that there are two positions, I don't see why we can't just draft at our own leisure and send those positions up to the mailing list. If the hope is that somehow we can actually get together around some of these points, and we should meet between these two groups, then, you know, let's continue down the track of trying to schedule something. But the way I hear people talking is that's not so much what the intent is, that we're just going to swap positions at the last minute and present them. So if to the extent that that's going to happen, we should probably just do that. I don't know if we need to dance around schedules anymore.
I got booted off. Ross, I didn't actually hear the tail end of your.
I was just saying, Jordan, that if we're actually picking up on Steve's suggestion of swapping papers at the last minute, I'm not sure what we need to schedule. We can probably just swap them via the mailing list, and be done with it. You know, if we're looking to forge further consensus, then we need to schedule time. But if we're just swapping documents, I don't see any reason to do that.
Well, I think, ideally speaking, I'd like to at least express where there is some common agreement, and if we can express the depth of purpose statements in a way that where we can understand both the common ground and the differences, I think that would be the most useful approach. So that way we can really focus the rest of this mission on where the differences are. So to that end, I think it would be somewhat useful to have at least some time prior to the meeting. I mean, well, why don't I suggest this?
It sounds like Tuesday morning. I don't see any conflict yet with anyone. But maybe not for 2 hours. If we could meet for an hour on Tuesday.
Yeah, let me suggest maybe Tuesday morning for like an hour, and then we can just, to the extent we may not be finalized in terms of our various approaches, but to the extent we can use that meeting also to talk about where there is common ground, just to frame the rest of the discussion, I think that would be useful.
I'd have to disagree. I think most of the work on this will get done, at least from my perspective, Tuesday through Thursday, so I'm not sure. A, we have the IPC has a conflict on Tuesday morning. And B, I'm not sure we'll have anything to present then. That's just my two cents.
Sure. Anyone else? I guess let me ask, how many people think it would be?
How many people want, Jordan? You cut out. Jordan? You sure did cut out. Hello?
Is that a vote for or against?
I have to drop off. Sorry about that. I will be there, and so I'll just stay tuned to hear what we work out.
Is that a vote for or against?
I'd say it was a vote for.
Did we lose have we lost Jordan? Or is he?
Yeah, I got booted off again.
There he is.
I'm done being underground. So.
That was not a vote for, Kathy. That was merely a statement of fact.
Okay.
Sorry, did we come to people decide it was useful to have a meeting on Tuesday morning?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Jordan.
Okay, why don't I ask this?
Unfortunately, won't be there.
I'll ask Glenn to schedule a room, and everyone's invited, and the more people that show up, the better, and we'll try to make a useful session out of it.
What time?
Anyone want to pick a time? If there's other things being scheduled, are we aware of any other conflicts, or can we just choose a time? Any time's as good as any other.
The IPC has a conflict from 10 to 11, so I would suggest before.
Maybe
9.
Okay.
I think, yeah, let's say 9 to, maybe 9 to 10.
Good. And just to fast note, I'll be sending out a new agenda for the privacy conference in the afternoon, which everyone is invited to and is not sponsored by the task force.
Kathy, what time are you planning on starting?
Right now we're planning on 2:30, but based on your email this morning, we should talk.
Okay.
But right now it's scheduled 2:30 to 6.
Okay. Yeah, let me try to reach Brett so we can try to make sure we don't have, you know, time conflicts.
But everyone's invited. The keynote's going to be Heather Black, the Assistant Privacy Commissioner of Canada. But I'll post a new schedule shortly.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. So I'm gonna ask that each little group of people who thinks they can agree on a common purpose to get together. I don't think we need to designate people, point people necessarily on the call, but have discussions about what their purpose would be. It's something done between now and Tuesday, and then there will be some more time to further refine things after our meeting on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, Jordan, you know, I know you're not looking for volunteers, but I'm going to jump in anyways. I don't mind taking a crack at synthesizing something, and I'll share it with the list, and anybody that views that as being amenable to their position, then we can get in touch afterwards and hash through the details of it.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good starting point. If you do have a definition of purpose that you think might be a good starting point, you know, posting it to the list and encouraging people to get in touch with you to further refine it with like-minded individuals to further refine it would be good. Okay.
Great.
Okay, we'll wrap this up then. Not even an hour and a half. So I'll look forward to seeing everyone. Hopefully, people on Tuesday morning and whoever else in Vancouver, and we'll talk then.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, everyone.
Safe travels, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.